Hi, this is Jamie Ruby, and welcome to our special episode of Fandom Access for Tuesday, November 20th, where we're going to talk about Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. I apologize for the delay. We had some technical issues. Not that that's new, but just waiting for Karen to call in. She's going to co-host with me. Let me. Oh, crap, but I can't let you in. Can you let yourself in? Okay, there
Hi,
we go.
Jamie.
Hello. It did
Hi,
let me
how are
let
you?
You in on the iPad. Good. I'm hoping AJ's editing this for us because I can't do two things at once. He's set for 15 minutes. No idea why. Or you set. Whoever sets it for 15.
Well, these things happen. We made it through.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
Yep.
So,
all right. So
special
I guess
edition.
AJ didn't see it then. I wasn't sure if he was. I guess he's not joining us for this part of it. But.
I don't think AJ has seen The Crimes of Grindelwald yet. No.
Right. Okay. So, let me tell him things. Okay, so he's going to fix the time. So, for anybody who didn't see it, we are going to talk spoilers. So, if you have not watched Fantastic Beasts, please come back at 10. At 10 o'clock, we will be having our regular episode where we're talking about Doctor Who, Walking Dead, and all that other good stuff. All right, so, what
all right.
did you see, first of all, did you see it in 2D or 3D?
I saw it in 2D. I'm not a big 3D fan, and also I won free tickets, so I had to just go to whatever they were giving me. So
okay. Oh, that's right. I forgot
I saw
you
regular
won the tickets.
D.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I saw 3D. So what did you think of the movie? I'll let you go first.
So there were some things I liked about this movie, but it's not the best of the Potter franchise, and in fact, I think when I left the theater with my friend, I said, you know, of the now 9 movies in the Potter franchise, I think this is number 9 in terms of if I was going to rank the best movies. I mean, there's a number of problems with it. It being number 2 of 5, maybe it's just, like, way too setup-y for it to be, like, you know, a top 3 Potter film. But I think I think there were some good things about it. I don't want to totally trash it, but it didn't, for me, doesn't have the magic, right?
Yeah. I really liked it, but I would kind of agree. I think I'd probably put it at number 9. I think the first Fantastic Beasts movie was better. It may be just it falls into the being a sequel, or like you said, there's a lot of setup. I feel like the first movie could have been standalone even. And this one definitely can't be standalone, which maybe is part of it. I don't know. I mean, I guess usually you see the book, but they don't have a book for this beforehand, so we go on only what they give us. But it was a lot of, you don't really usually call it that in a movie, but I guess you'd say the mythology. Because they added a bunch of stuff storyline-wise, and I feel like it was so complex, at least to me, certain things were... I don't even so much it was confusing as things didn't make sense, and, like, I walked out of the theater being like, did I miss something? Did I forget something? Because I just watched the movie the night before the first movie, and...
Me too! I watched Fantastic Beasts the night before.
Yeah,
so
and
be
it
totally
felt like
in
there
loop,
were pieces...
Right?
I thought there were pieces missing, because there were so many things they changed about Harry Potter history... And they screwed around with it. Just didn't fit. Sorry, go ahead.
Good. I think that one of the problems with this film is there are so many side plots and so much like unnecessary subplots going on that took attention away from the main story and were confusing and I think unnecessary. And we could maybe talk a little on what some of them are, but go ahead. With what your next thought
there. Know, that's funny you say it because that wasn't, maybe this time maybe they should have added a movie. Usually they add too many, but maybe that was part of the problem. But no, I was just going to ask, the one scene, I don't know, and I guess just a little thing, but it irritated me because I was so confused at the beginning of the movie. Because what I didn't get is, okay, so at the beginning of the movie, Grindelwald's escaping, right? So I guess he swapped bodies with Abernathy or swapped places, but somehow I guess when he swapped bodies, it ended up that he got his tongue back, because it confused me why when he swapped with Abernathy, suddenly Abernathy didn't have a tongue. And I wasn't sure at first. I had thought that he was the one who looked like him on the outside of the carriage after the fact. But since I was confused, when I was in the store today, I actually read they have the book that's the screenplay. I actually read that first scene, And it makes it sound like, to me, from reading it, that he was the one on the inside that looked like Abernathy. So I was completely lost at that point. That made me more confused. I don't know that it matters in the scheme of things, but I watched that scene and I was like, what? And then the other thing that I wasn't sure of, and sometimes people just look similar and I could be wrong, but okay. So Abernathy was bad and helped him. That's the guy that liked Queenie in the first movie. The one that had the forked tongue at the end. Okay, but the other guy that he sent down to the water, I assumed he was working with him as well because he not only didn't kill him, but he threw his wand down with him into the water. So that part I was confused if he saved him on purpose because he looked like he was the one guy that was in the ministry later, but I couldn't tell for sure if it was the same actor. And I shouldn't have been wondering if it had been clear one way or the other.
Yeah, I thought they were two, like, British or European ministry guys that the New York Ministry of Magic was handing Grindelwald over to the British
Ministry. Right, but the other guy in the
carriage. Ministry.
Yeah,
I think only, I think
the
they all were.
Kill.
No, I don't think any of them were accomplices.
Okay, see, I thought one might have been that he let live. That's why I was lost. Sorry, go ahead.
So I found that scene to be a little disappointing in terms of it being like the first big action sequence of the movie and the big escape. I found that it was very, very dark and very, very like super close up and edited in such a way that I really kind of couldn't tell what was going on. And like a thestral carriage hijacking like should be pretty exciting. And I just found it to be really like difficult for me to like kind of tell what was going on with all those like fast jump cuts and super close ups.
I wouldn't say the close up bothered me. I mean, I've seen it in 3D and I thought it was fine. And I do have to say, I think it was a beautiful movie. And I don't know, sometimes
some
I think depending how you see it, sometimes it's darker. I think that a lot of it was so beautiful and I think the 3D was worth it. But yeah, that scene, I just was like, so like what? Through half of it and not getting it. And I thought when I first watched it, that little vial was his tongue. I didn't understand until after.
Me too.
I mean, in the end, it was blood. I thought, so I don't know. I just feel like as a movie that's supposed to be, I mean, it's not made for kids, but it's supposed to be for all ages. I feel like if I'm confused and I'm 36, that I don't know how kids could understand it. So I don't know. I walked out feeling stupid, and then I looked it up and found out everybody felt like that. So it made me feel better.
So that opening scene, was a little bit of a disappointment effects and animation action wise, just because there were some better ones later in the film, but that's the big opening sequence. And in my, I've been thinking about it days afterward. I was kind of in my mind comparing it to the great, great scene in Order of the Phoenix when they're rescuing Harry from the Dursleys for the Order of the Phoenix all dress up as Harry and they're being pursued by Death Eaters and they're swooping down over
like
the Thames River. And that is so well done. And so amazing, and I that's a Yates film, I think, also. And so I thought they could have done better. Plus, compare that to the closing dramatic scene with the sort of fire in the secret meeting hall. I thought that was really well done. I thought the creature. I know it's Fantastic Beasts, but I feel like this movie maybe gets a little bogged down in creatures a little bit, but that lion dragon thing that they save from the circus that Newt rides was well done and interesting. Well, I thought the circus was one of these unnecessary subplots that we had. I did think that Chinese dragon lion thing was, I think they call it a thunderbird, I'm not sure. Was well done.
No, the Chinese one, it's written in my review. I looked it up. You'd have to look it up. It's a Chinese cat-like creature or something. I forget. But anyway, I don't know. I thought, I agree with you, kind of a lot of the circus wasn't necessary, but I thought that whole scene was pretty, even the people floating in the bubbles, I thought was pretty cool. And although, I don't know, I think like if you're looking in 3D, maybe some of the effects, you're more like focused on the effects than you are if you're not watching it in 3D. I don't know. But I agree the opening wasn't as maybe big as it could be, but I think the rest of it was like the action was good. I think the effects were very good. I also very much liked, although again some of this I think was a 3D, but I also very much liked the scene where he went to feed the Kelpie and the whole room filled up with water and stuff. I thought that looked really cool. And then also, we got they had the Thestrals in this one. I think you had mentioned. I think they were in the other movie though, but
we've seen Thestrals
before.
Yeah,
there were a lot of different
yeah.
creatures. Yeah, that's what I thought. But there was a lot of different creatures in this. I agree with what you're saying. There's a lot, but I feel like that's kind of a big part of it because it's about Newt. So that really didn't bother me. But I don't know, just some of the things that didn't make sense. Like that was one of the things of the beginning I was confused. But then I think the biggest thing that people are talking about that doesn't make sense is, of course, the ending of the movie. But maybe because that's the ending, we'll talk about some of the other stuff first maybe.
Okay.
But a couple of the other things that irritated me and that I thought about after were that Professor McGonagall, I mean, I guess it's not a big deal, but it just didn't make sense that she was there with him because she's supposed to be way younger than Dumbledore, I think, from what I remember, and she definitely wasn't teaching in 1927, according to, like, the Harry Potter history, because I had looked it up, and I knew that it seemed off, and that was why she shouldn't have been there until, I think, like, 30-some years later or something, and don't quote me on that, but it was something like that. So, I don't know, that kind of made me wonder, but that wasn't a huge deal. The one thing that did irritate me, though, was the Mirror of Erised. The Mirror of Erised is supposed to show you your one true desire. Now, maybe at that point in his life, Dumbledore doesn't want socks, and, you know, that part doesn't matter. But it totally was used for a flashback device to show us his pact between Grindelwald and him, which I doubt that he was desiring making another pact with Grindelwald because he didn't like Grindelwald at this point. So I don't understand using that as a flashback device. Did that bother you at all, or did you just not think about it?
Yeah, I noticed it also. I mean, so what does that mean, that his great desire is to never have done that, or that his greatest desire is to be, like, it's heavily implied that Dumbledore was in and Grindelwald were in love, although it's not really overt.
Yeah,
really,
I think,
you know, it's not
right,
overt.
I think Rowling had said that somewhere.
She said it.
I don't know where.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says we were closer than brothers, and it's heavily implied, but, like, so are we supposed to think, you know, I mean, if it shows you your great, like, all Harry saw was himself standing there with his parents, and Ron saw himself as head boy, and, you know.
Right.
I mean, of course,
I don't
those were the greatest wishes of simple children, but.
Right, and
but
I don't Dumbledore saw a wish. To me, they just used it to show, to give us information, because I don't think, I mean, he was
yes.
already trying to defeat
yeah.
Grindelwald. I don't think he's wishing to make another pact with them. So I think that
yeah.
was just kind of like reminiscing, and they just used it in the wrong
yeah.
way. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would assume that they were lovers, or that at least that they were in love, and I don't know if it's just because it is a family film they decided not to delve too deep into that, or to let people, maybe they did it just so people can make up their own mind, because they might think that some people
mm-hmm.
would get mad, because I remember the backlash when Rowling said that Dumbledore was gay, and some people got mad at that, although to be honest, you should know that by now, so I don't know how you could go into the movie
yeah.
unless you, like, don't read the internet not knowing that. So that, you know, that's
yeah.
fine. That didn't bother me. But I just was irritated by the way they used the mirror. But everything else I really liked. And talking about, since we're talking about their relationship, I did really enjoy, I can't talk, Newt's scenes with Tina. I thought that their kind of, like, flirting and nervousness was cute. I liked that. I think, though,
yeah.
relationship-wise, the big problem I had was with Queenie. Like, I didn't understand any of her motivations in the movie at all. She loves this guy.
Yeah.
He loves her. Okay, so he's scared to get married. But if he loves her, why would she bewitch him like she did? I mean, I just, that
it's great,
makes no
great.
Sense. And her living with Grindelwald
yeah.
makes even less sense.
Right. It's a huge betrayal for her to have done that to Jacob, right? Like, to take away his free will and to, you know, with an enchantment like that, is a terrible betrayal. And I agree with you that I didn't understand her motivation there, or didn't really think she'd do it. And then for her to turn to Grindelwald's side in the end and say, you know, like, she really thinks that Grindelwald is advocating, like, free love with Muggles. I don't think so.
I mean,
and
just because
and so
he
as
wants to be able to be with. I mean, I assume
yeah,
that when
no.
he makes those statements, he's like, because he's gay. And I mean, that's how I took that, which doesn't matter. But
yeah,
I don't understand.
I mean,
he believes in
the supremacy of wizards over Muggles. He'll never, you know, when we left the movie theater, my friend said to me, her biggest complaint was that they made Queenie dumb, and that she wasn't dumb in the last movie, and they made her dumb.
Right?
And
I kind of feel like she was a little dumb in the last movie, though. Not to this extent.
Yeah.
But she was a little
A little superficial. But to fall for this.
Yeah.
So I don't like Johnny Depp in this role. I really wish they had let Colin Farrell play the role or almost anyone else because I the person who reviewed this for, I want to think it was Vulture, the Vulture reviewer referred to this as Johnny Depp's usual tired goth weirdo thing. And, like, I do have a problem with Johnny Depp in that I feel like he's become such a gimmicky actor that he's no longer able to disappear into a role. And so I'm always very aware that I'm watching Johnny Depp. I never feel that I'm watching Grindelwald. I feel like that I'm watching Johnny Depp as Grindelwald. So I don't know if I want to blame Johnny Depp for this or if I really should blame the writers of this film. But one of the things that didn't come across to me is that Grindelwald's supposed to be this incredibly persuasive and charismatic leader, so much so that, like, in New York, they removed his tongue so he couldn't talk to anyone because just to listen to him is dangerous, right?
That definitely did not come across that way.
No, that did not come across in this character that he was such a smooth talker and so convincing that's how he convinced Queenie and the others. In fact, at the end, it appears that he has seen a vision of the future and has seen World War II, which is not a gift that I'm aware. And there's a gift of prophecy, but it's never been positioned as literally seeing the future that World War II is going to happen in 1941. 14 years from now. And so, and I was really like, I'm like, wait, like they're suddenly giving, like they're giving Grindelwald this little bit of like, wait, is he a good guy all of a sudden? He wants to stop World War II? What? Like, not really. He's using that, but I object to him having that gift and seeing that. And I found that confusing and not something we've seen in magic in this universe yet, that someone can literally tell the future. We've seen prophecy, but prophecy's always had to be interpreted, right?
Yeah. Well, although I do have to say the other thing that you say about magic, I've wondered about and wondered when I watched the first movie, is I know, like, Snape was teaching Harry to build Legilimens or whatever, but it confuses me that Queenie seems to not be able to turn it off. Like, hers seems to be a little more extreme, but that's either here or there. I just mentioned that because it was
she
one
was
made
like,
me wonder when I was watching it.
She was like when Buffy could read everybody's minds and she heard them all at once and like couldn't turn it off and was like, that surprised me that she's supposed to be a very talented Legilimens and couldn't really control it. We don't have a ton of time
like
before,
Snape,
before
they have to turn on when they want.
Yeah. Before we get into the ending of the film, I want to say that, I'm also of the come around to not really that I find Newt Scamander to not be a very compelling or charismatic. I know he's supposed to be shy and nebbishy, but I don't really see why Dumbledore chose him, and he's a little annoying and boring, I think. And I wish maybe they'd given a little more spark to him. I loved my favorite thing about this movie are the costumes and the shoes. And the hair, and I came out of there wanting to cut my hair like all those girls in the movie. I do think they totally missed the boat. They had such an opportunity with this being set in Paris in 1927, where there was just so much music and art and science and amazing things happening in Paris. And I felt like this movie could have taken place anywhere. It could have been New York. It could have been London. There was like two people with a French accent, and that's all we had about Paris. And I think they really missed an opportunity. In the previous movie, I really felt like 1927 New York. I really got a sense of, like, what New York was like then, and I think they just blew it with Paris.
Yeah, you talk about the costumes. The costumes were very pretty, but the one thing I didn't get, and I mentioned this to you, is that in the first movie, you could tell the clothes are from the 20s. I don't understand where, like, Tina, it's only, like, leather jackets. Like, that's not really, unless I'm wrong, I don't think that's really, like, a fashion statement of the 20s, is it? Maybe it's just more leather jackets, and they thought it looked cool.
Maybe.
I don't know, but that for some reason.
I mean, they had fabulous coats. All of them had fabulous coats.
Yeah, they did. They did. But
so
he did not look 20s, but
no.
So the other thing I wanted to mention is the Elder Wand. I thought at first maybe it was Abernathy's, but I think it was just he was holding. I'm guessing he was probably holding Grindelwald's real wand, since it wasn't in the wand box. But
so Grindelwald has already stolen
part,
it at this
part.
Point. He's already Grindelwald's
already
stolen it.
Yeah, well, we don't know.
From...
That's what I thought. He had already stolen it from who knows who or whatever, or
he
maybe
stole it from that other
Ollivander.
No, he stole it from another wand maker from, I guess, Ollivander.
Right.
There's a scene in Deathly Hallows where Harry has a vision of him stealing the wand.
Oh, of the Elder Wand. Yeah, okay, you're right. That's what I can't remember.
Yeah.
I just know that, obviously, we know from the story that Dumbledore ends up with it, and he's supposedly, Dumbledore is the brother that's in that Tale of the Beetleborg, and that's why he has the invisibility cloak as well that he gives to Harry, and, you know, blah, blah.
Yep.
But that's another story, and people know that. Now, we have, like, 4 minutes. I know we might go over a couple minutes. Let's at least try to get through this with our last 4 minutes. So, the ending. So suddenly Dumbledore has this long-lost brother that we never knew existed who sounds a lot like his sister. Like, to me, it would have made a lot more sense just to make a girl and have this character be his sister, because the stories that they told about his sister in the past definitely imply, now that we know things, that she was an Obscurial. So I don't understand why they didn't just do that. I mean, I could say if it was another movie that maybe, like, she hadn't intended to make, you know, Credence that character or something, and they didn't know where it was going, but I don't believe that was rolling. I think she had all this planned out ahead. I just don't understand why she added this character that makes no sense.
I don't either, because at the time that this movie happens, Ariana is dead and has been dead, and, you know, it's Ariana's death that breaks up Aberforth and Albus and Grindelwald. I mean, right? Like Albus and Grindelwald duel for the first time.
Watched him. Like, did he have another brother?
I didn't know.
Was
killed. No. So here's the thing. So and I read into this. So there's no way that this, if Credence is really Albus's brother, which I'm not sure I believe it, because Grindelwald could be lying.
That
would suck. I'd be pissed if it turned out that was a cliffhanger that he was lying, but there's no way that it could be the child of Kendra. Albus's, she dies in 1899, and so Credence would have to be 28 years old at this point in order for Kendra to have been the mother. And how would that even happen, right? So the only way for this to happen would be a half brother. Could Percival, Albus's father, who was in Azkaban, could he have somehow fathered a child while he was in Azkaban? Which is, like, also, like, what? How is that even possible? He died in Azkaban for killing a muggle, right? So
so that's kind of, I think, people's biggest gripe with this movie is that it just doesn't make sense.
Well, could it be a fake-out dead? Could it be that dead Ariana's Obscurus has, like, parasitized itself onto Credence? I don't know.
Maybe, or maybe because he didn't want anybody to know about Ariana. Maybe he lied and it wasn't Ariana. Maybe it was a brother. Who knows? I don't know.
But
we just
saw a photo of her. I mean, we saw her painting.
No, I know.
And she's,
we'll
you know, like,
photo.
I mean.
No, I know.
But, I mean, she existed. She existed.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it would have made a lot more sense if she just made the character female, made it Ariana, just story-wise. But we don't know what she has planned.
I
guess we'll have to wait and see.
I feel like if he could just be, like, isn't it enough that he's a wizard lost? One of my problems I have is that I don't care enough about
brother.
Well, I don't care enough about Credence to care if he finds his family or not. Like, he was not developed enough character to become this centrally, like, he's not sympathetic to me. I mean, yeah, I feel sorry that his adopted mother beat him, but he's not, like, sympathetic to me as a central character that I didn't really care who his mother was. Like, whatever, you're trying to, like, what? You're trying to find your real mother? Like, what? Like,
I just want to add something really
there.
Quick before we cut off.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was going to say, I agree with you. He wasn't as strong of a character, maybe, if he could have been, though. I did like his character, but not as much. But the thing that I want to know is Nagini is a good character, like good as in not evil character. I don't understand how she ends up working for Voldemort as his snake that eats people. Like, I'd like to know how the heck that happens. That's the one thing I am kind of intrigued. Like, she just gets
I'm not sure that
point,
she's her. Once she becomes a snake, I'm not sure that she's her. Like she's
that's
not
true.
Working.
Maybe she can't control herself
like,
anymore.
I think she's gone. Like, the snake takes over. I don't think she's
but
in
also,
there.
But also, how
I think that's
somebody who was
is unnecessary
a human
also.
Become a familiar is the other question. Because she's not, like, just a pet. She's a familiar.
Well, she's like
as
an Nagini, Indonesian,
as
like,
Nagini.
Yeah, demon or whatever. I'm not really sure. But, so they're trying to kick us off the system already.
Yeah,
I
know.
Anyway,
we can continue or we can wrap it up. It's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, I think
we could maybe just come back at the end of Phantom Access and give it a few more minutes if we wanted to, but I think we've covered most of it. And I mean, I think people
yeah.
should see it. It's not a terrible movie.
Oh,
and
yeah.
look, I'm nine movies in now, so I'm going to the next four movies. I'm not going to not watch any more Harry Potter movies, right? This is like the Marvel
well,
universe.
Really
you've got to keep watching.
Yeah, I know.
I liked it.
I really loved it. I think it had problems, but I still loved it overall. It just wasn't as good as the other one. But
yeah.
I still...
It's number nine
I don't
out of nine
really
so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, well, everybody, if you're with us still, we're glad we're going to switch over to Phantom Access. So please move on over with us. Just give us a second, and then we'll disconnect and redial in. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Jamie.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Sure, bye.